Ladies and gentlemen, this is National Consultant Maqsood Mir. I've been honored to actually be asked by Brian McClure, our National Consultant Ambassador of Ambit Energy, to host the call tonight. And Brian said, you know, Mir, you need to do the call tonight. And I was kind of unprepared, but you know what? When Brian calls, everybody's prepared. So I'm ready to serve you guys. Hopefully the topic that we're going to discuss tonight will help every one of you guys, as it has helped me too also. But I want to reach out to every one of the consultants that have jumped in on the call tonight. I know we have a great turnout from Chicago. We have a great turnout from Texas, everywhere. And we have some new senior consultants, new regional consultants just became regional and senior. I want to congratulate them from all of us for becoming a regional and senior consultant after ambition. Guys, it's a great feat, and you guys are going to get heavily rewarded by Ambit Energy for that. So look out for your paychecks next week. And the following weeks, you'll see the difference in that. So tonight's call, I want to talk about a subject that is close to me. It's basically the power of focus. I have enjoyed the power of focus in my life all through. I've been rewarded for it. I've been happily rewarded for it, because the ability to focus is your ability to determine the level of success you can have. Guys, if you are able to focus your energy, focus your attitude, focus your abilities in your business properly, guess what will happen? Your level of success in your business will exponentially increase. But we're going to talk about a few subjects that help you gain that focus. One of the subjects that helps you gain focus in your business is your habits. So to gain focus, you must be willing to change a few things that include your habits, guys. You know, you've heard that many successful people say that successful habits make them successful. Most unsuccessful people will tell you they don't have successful habits. And your habits will determine what your future is. So today we're going to talk about how to become a creature of habit, and especially how to become a creature of good habits. So let's ask a question. So have you guys noticed that when you're driving home, and you know, I do that a lot too, guys. When I'm driving home, I'm on a regular route. I take that same route every night or every day when I'm coming back home. And if Tamara tells me that, hey, honey, can you go pick up this from Walmart, or can you pick up this from somewhere on the thing? And I totally forget it lots of times because I'm that creature of habit. I take that same route, and just a little bit of a detour, sometimes, you know, I don't remember that. So oftentimes I'll tell her, have you just texted to me or call me and give me something of a reminder before I take that exit or before I miss that exit. Lots of times I'll be four exits past that exit that I'm supposed to take because I've just become a creature of that habit. It's the same route you take. So let's say in our case, we want to become financially independent, which we all are. Everyone on this call is wanting to become financially independent. That's the reason why you have joined this call with me. Guys, listen, there's a very, very easy success formula for financial independence. And a lot of you guys probably were shared that information. I was not. I was told by my dad a long time ago to be financially independent, I have to become very conscious about what I earn and what I don't earn. But I was told, even though my dad was a businessman, he always told me to go get a good job and, you know, earn more than what I spend and save the rest. But if I told you that there was a very easy method for becoming financially independent very early on in your life, I don't know whether you pay attention to that. You know, some of you guys are way past that age of 18 when we should learn how to actually first sow the seed of financial independence. It takes about $100 a month, guys. Okay, at the age of 18, if you open an investment account at the age of 18, you can do this for your kids, guys. Maybe it's too late for you now, you know, to be 18 years old, but if you're an 18-year-old and you have $100 a month that you can invest, and if you do that all through your working life, guys, before the age of 65, you will have well over $1 million in your bank account saved. And that's a good start for retirement, guys. And $1 million goes a long way. I know you need more than that nowadays to retire well, but $1 million is a great start. But if you do that with your children now. So what I learned is this. This is a no-exception policy for every one of us, because we're in the financial independence business, guys. We're in the business of making some habits get make us wealthier or richer or or be in a better situation than we were last year or the year before. So when it comes to financial independence, I'll tell you what happens with most people is that we basically dabble in it. We normally don't go into the growing money aspect of it. We are great at earning money. In Ambit Energy, we've been very, very lucky that we're able to earn money very easily, very good. I mean, and it's extremely rewarding for us. But if we are also focusing a little bit on growing the money that we earn, so I don't want you to feel bad because I'm guilty of it myself. I dabble into it. I don't do investment on, on a particular level. But guess what? My wife does better than I do. She's very, very strict about investing our money and growing the money, and it's kind of automatically or silently grows. So you might be, or your partner might be, the person who is in charge of growing the money. Somebody has to make the money, and someone has to grow the money. Not normally that you find the person who is a great earner is also a great grower of the money. Okay, so I just gave you one quick idea here that's a result of a habit. And a habit, it has to be consistent. And I've only seen the habit to work when it's consistent habit. So if I can tell you one thing, that, you know, Ambit Energy is a vehicle of success. It doesn't guarantee your financial independence, but one thing it does guarantee you, it's a path or a way to financial independence, way to making more money than you would normally be at a job or working, you know, at a 9-to-5. You can make more than that, guys. So how do we make this no exception policy something ingrained so that we do it no matter what, guys? Okay, so there are people here on this call who are health fanatics. I mean, I just talked about just a little bit about financial health there, but what if you're interested in increasing your longevity? What if you're interested in excelling in your health? You know, we all know that we have to work out 3 times a week. You know, we want to work out 25 minutes, 30 minutes every week or multiple times a week to be in good shape. But if we don't do that and we miss out one day this week, next day, we miss out another week, we miss out another day in the thing here, it compounds too also. And pretty soon we're going to be in bad health. And I have noticed it myself. I've pushed myself quite a bit and during this business where I've been running a lot, I was driving 10,000 miles every month all over Illinois trying to build the business there, and I didn't take care of my health, and it caught up with me. So that also has a compounding effect, just like your finances do. Finances can have a great compounding effect if you're able to invest a little bit of money on a regular basis. So does health. Health can have a great compounding effect. This year, I chose, after going through a little bit of health issues there, I chose that I'll walk a little bit, run a little bit every day. I have to put a little bit effort into my body so that I can do the distance that it requires, that this the business requires me to, you know, down the distance. So let's do this thing here, guys. You know, I want you to understand that the habits will determine your future. It's not only going to determine what you're doing today. It might be a little bit difficult for you guys to, you know, learn a new habit or form a new habit. But if you want to distance yourself from the masses, okay, and I'm going to repeat that again. If you want to distance yourself from the masses and enjoy a unique lifestyle that this business will allow you to do, this, your habits will determine that. Your habits determine your future. So it's important for you to remember that successful people don't just drift to the top. They take a focused action. Guys, it takes a focused action. It takes personal discipline. It takes a lot of energy every day to make things happen in your business, guys. And I want you guys to be in the best of health so that you can enjoy the wealth that you're going to be earning, guys. So if your habits determine the quality of life, would you put a little bit of effort in formulating what habits are good or what habits are beneficial to you? And what habits are not? You want to eliminate some of that. And we'll go into that in just a few minutes. But to be rich, it doesn't mean that you only have financial freedom. You know, you also want to develop meaningful relationships. And that's also a habit. And we're going to touch on that too also. Developing relationships with people, it takes that effort. You know, my mom always taught me this, you know, said, on Sundays or on Fridays, she would go take the time to go see my grandparents. No matter what, she would take us. And it doesn't matter what we had planned, whether we had a wedding or a birthday or event or something like that, that we were supposed to attend to. My mom made time for her parents to go visit them every Friday or Sunday. And it became ingrained in me. And that was very particularly ingrained in her. So I asked my mom, so why do you have such a wonderful relationship with your parents? And she said, I invest in it. I invest in my relationship with my parents. And it's something that is kind of taken for granted by most of us, that the relationship between a parent and a child. But my mother invested in her relationship with her dad and her mom. And I asked, how did you learn that? And this time when my mom was visiting, I asked her many, many questions about different things. And one of these things was, what did she do to be in favor of her parents all the time? I don't know why she enjoyed that favor, and I want to enjoy the same type of favor that she has enjoyed. So I asked her about that, and she said, you know, I'm not the favorite child. She has two other siblings, but they always treated her as the favorite child almost because she invested in that relationship. She took her parents to different places. She enjoyed some time with her parents, and she made us understand how important it is to invest in our relationship. And it starts at home, guys. It starts with your children. It starts with you and your parents. It starts with you and your consultants. So today, if I ask to call a consultant up, most people tell me that, Mir, whenever you call, everybody picks up the phone. But when we call them, they don't pick up the phone. That is because maybe I have invested in that relationship just a little bit. Maybe I had called on a time that they needed, not when I needed. But lots of times I'm calling the person when I need it. Don't wait till you need that person to do something for you. Do that before. Sow the seed before so that you create that meaningful relationship. Because enriching life is also enriching that powerful relationship that you have. So we talked about health. We talked about relationship. We talked about financial freedom. What about balancing your career or your personal life? So, I don't know whether I enjoyed the benefits of balance as much, guys. I'm giving you just my examples there just because that's the only life I've led. Now, I can tell you that I have had an imbalanced relationship with personal life and career. I've always chased the dollar, or I've always worked hard for the money and sometimes neglected my personal relationships. So when your marriage or when your relationship with your spouse suffers because of your career, it's not a great outcome, guys. And I can tell you that, many of us forget that the balance is important for us to keep that, relationship at home going properly. So that's another aspect that you'll have to work out, whether you can find a balance there. I am slowly trying to find a balance between my career and my personal life, but sometimes it comes too late for people to recognize there. But I don't want that to be too late for you guys to recognize that when you're chasing your career success or the success with your family, it can be done and it's been done. Now, let me talk about another enrichment, guys. And this enrichment is extremely important to me, guys. This is the nourishment of my soul. And I understand that, most of you guys will get up in the morning and say a few prayers to the Lord and read your Bible or do something towards your enrichment for your soul. It's understanding how you want to live a satisfying life. It's not the life here, the life afterwards too also. So we work hard every day. We forget lots of times to give gratitude to God for what he has given us, but take the time in the morning, take the time in the afternoon, take the time at night, whenever you find time, give that thanks to God for the life that he has given us, for the life that he's allowing us to live. Guys, because of his grace we live. So I want you to understand that giving that nourishment to the soul is also very, very important. Guys, to gain focus, we also need to eliminate some bad habits, and let's show you how to replace bad habits and replace them with good ones. Now, bad habits are not bad. I'm not necessarily saying anything, everything is bad habit or not, but it's just that replacing it with good ones will serve you better. The results of bad habits usually don't show up until very late in life, guys. You'll be 20 years old, you won't feel any of the effects of the bad habits because that's where it starts mainly. But the negative habits normally have or breeds other negative consequences, and it shows up later on in your 30s and the 40s and the 50s. It shows up some of the effects of that. Some people see it early in their life. But whenever you are able to create a successful habit, which will reward positive rewards, guys, it can start showing those positive rewards fairly early. But the transfer of those habits to the positive side, it takes a little bit of time. You know, most of the Western world is either overweight and we're under-exercised and we're undernourished. How can you explain that? I mean, we live in the best country in the world, and how can we be in this situation health-wise or even financially? You know, I blame this for, I know why it can be. One of the reasons is because, you know, we live a life of momentary gratification. It's a momentary gratification means that we're wanting an immediate success or immediate reward. So we live for that immediate reward. We don't give any thought to our future. We will do everything for our immediate reward, but do not think that, okay, what if we have delayed gratification, but we will have reward later on, much greater reward later on. Guys, we're in a business of delayed gratification. When you become a marketing consultant in the business there, you don't immediately make $500, $600 in the business. You make $100. Sometimes that feels a little low for someone starting in the business and getting a few customers, and you get a $100 reward for doing the work there, guys. But people who start out in the business as a marketing consultant now, I mean, now they're getting a little bit more because, you know, Ambit just released their ambition bonuses. But when they're starting out, that $100 doesn't mean that's it. Guys, I didn't get too excited about my $100 check. Initially, I actually missed my Jumpstart bonuses, guys. So when I did catch up and when I did finally make $100 in Ambit Energy, I wasn't too excited about it. But, you know, fast forward 10 years after making quite a bit of money in this business there, I understand that there was a delayed gratification that I needed to work on. And most of you guys will understand and appreciate that. Anybody who's an executive consultant on the call or national consultant on the call will understand that part there, that it is a business of delayed gratification. And we have to live that. We don't want to live just for that moment. If you get dissatisfied and not make the bonus there or miss the bonus for some reason, you know, don't feel bad, because even after missing the bonus, you can make several million dollars in the business and come out very, very happy. Okay, so we give little or no thought, okay, to the future lots of times. We don't think about, okay, if we put in the work now and have the patience to put in the work there, guys, those negative consequences will turn out to be positive rewards, and we're going to develop very, very successful habits. Guys, know that it's going to take some time. So why I'm telling you that part there, because early on in my business, there were a few habits of mine that I had to eliminate. You know, it's been 10 years that I've been in Ambit Energy, and I've had to eliminate a lot of my negative habits there. So something that takes time to form also will take time to eliminate or to change. Guys, if you have been carrying on this habit for 20 years, guys, don't expect that next 21 days you change this habit and you'll become a new person. It doesn't always ring true, guys, and it didn't work for me that well either. So it took me a while to create some good habits and to formulate some habits that I can get some positive rewards for. So first of all, I want you to identify what is not serving your goal. Okay, so let's make a list. Some of you guys have a pen and paper in front of you there. If you make a list of some of the habits that you would like to eliminate or to change, what is not serving you right now? And I want you to be honest, because guess what? This is your life. Guys, this is your life. If you make those changes right now, from now on till in the next 2, 3, 4 years time frame, you're going to see some remarkable difference happen in your life, because you have owned up to your habits. And if you own these habits for 20 years, you're going to expect that it might take you 2 months or 3 months to formulate some new habits, and then you will start living a better life because you have harnessed the power of new habits, guys. Okay. So what I also want you to take a look at is what do you want to change about that? So how do you want to change that? Those things that are not serving you. And I'll go through a list of some of the habits that have made me feel that I need to make some changes. I mean, this is something that I made myself do, and I have a list of some of them. I'll go over that with you, the changes of the habits that I did myself, and I want to share that. I didn't used to return phone calls on time. Okay. And returning phone calls on time is essential for running a business, guys. I learned it early on that I need to return the phone calls on time. Within 24 hours, I have to return the person's phone call. Lots of times I would wake up late and then I would miss 16, 17 phone calls by the time I woke up, guys. So, you know, a lot of people do network marketing because they don't want to wake up early and go report to a job, and I'm a victim of that. You know, I've not had a job or a 9-to-5 job for the last 26, 27 years, guys. Since 1996, I've not had a W-2 income. So I was not used to getting up early in the morning and you know, returning everybody's phone call. But other people will call me at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. So I have to figure out how I can return the phone calls. The first thing I do right now is to make sure I return everybody's phone calls within the 24 hours. If I miss somebody, I'm always calling them back or texting them, letting them know that if I ran out of time or if I ran, or even if it's at 10 o'clock at night, I want to return that phone call. Guys, I have been chronically late to meetings and appointments, guys. And then this is something that I'm telling you guys that I've done that if it takes me 20 minutes to get ready and 50 minutes to go to an appointment, the drive time there, I am only allotting those 50 minutes and 20 minutes. I'm never allotting any more than that because, you know, the traffic might be bad or they might be jammed up or there might be an accident on the road or I might have to pump gas. I never allotted any time before to pump gas so that I can get to my meeting on time. Because my dad used to always tell me, he says, if you're on time, you're always late. He says, you know, but I didn't always heed that. But in adult life, I had to change some of those habits, guys. I changed some habits that where I can show up a little bit on time. They're properly on time. And on time means respecting other people's time. And that's another thing that I didn't understand or take into account all the time. Guys, poor communication with colleagues and staff. This is something that was also a habit that I had to change. You have to communicate with your consultants properly. And the poor communication is this, not effectively letting them know what is desired from them and what you want them to do or what's the next direction or what's the next step. Oftentimes, we always tell people that, okay, my sponsor didn't tell me what to do. We blame the sponsor. But we don't want to carry that on. If it was your sponsor who didn't communicate to you properly what was desired, but you have to change some of that stuff that you have to know or you have to learn from others that, okay, you know, what do I need to do to change that? What do I need to do to become an effective communicator between me and my consultants, guys? Because it's that variable. If you change that once, it's going to have effect over the entire course of your business, guys. I started changing that in my adult life. Because I wanted to lead a team. I wanted to lead, and this is in business, not network marketing. I'm talking about traditional business. I wanted to have employees that I could communicate with, and I enjoyed the success that was really good for an early age, you know, because I was able to communicate my desires or my intentions or my goals with my company to my employees there. Here, you don't have any employees. You have consultants, but they still have goals. You want them to fast track. You want them to produce. You want them to go ahead and recruit 5 people, 6 people. You have to show them the way how to communicate that part there too also. So poor communication is another one that I had to change. Lack of clarity is another one. If you don't know what your outcome is going to be, they don't know that. Your consultants will not know what is clarity. Clarity means that you have a clear understanding where you're going to go, how you're going to go there, and how long it's going to take you to get there. So they also need to know that part there, that it's going to take them 6 new consultants to go to regional consultants. This is what's expected of them. They need 5 new customers. They need 2 personally sponsored consultants, and they will get to that. It needs 18 consultants to go to senior consultants. They need to be fully understanding of the fact that, guys, listen, this is the deliverable. This is the outcome. And that needs to happen. The targets, the goals, the expected amounts, what you're needing, that needs to be communicated. And I had to change some of that for myself to work Ambit Energy properly, guys. Now, not attending to paperwork in time. So there's some communication, of course, happens between you and corporate guys too also. Things that happen between you and corporate, that needs to be addressed right away. There are some of them that are time frame limited in a certain amount of time frame. You know, getting customers within 28 days so that you can actually go get your jumpstart bonus done. That has to be addressed. So if there is a time allotted for you to do something, make sure that you understand that the time allotted is not, you know, you don't wait till the last day to get it all done or the last 2 days to get it all done. Guys, do that within the first week. You know, I have been telling people that in the beginning, I didn't take that into consideration. So I missed my jumpstart bonus. And of course, you know, customers were 3 hours away from me, but I missed my jumpstart bonus because I thought very last week I called my upline up and said, "Hey, there's a clock running down." I didn't even know what was the clock for. There's a clock running down on the on my power zone. What does that mean? So if I had made that phone call the first week, there my upline would probably tell me that, okay, that clock means this, and you have to get this done during that time frame there. That needed to happen. So you have to allow that to be understood by the new consultants. Lots of times, new consultants don't understand that part there. Now, another thing I learned is to talk less and listen more. You know, that's listen more to the consultants. This is very, very important, guys. Listen, if you God gave us 2 ears, one mouth, but if you don't listen to your consultants, listen to what their needs are, you're not going to be able to help them properly, guys. So I understood that early on in the business, that if I understood what were their problems, not just what I wanted them to do, but what were their problems, what were the issues that they're seeing in the field, what can I do to identify, you know, their issues that I can solve them? Because it gives you that clarity. The clarity is important for them, just like I said earlier. So guys, Jim Rohn says success leaves behind clues. And I like to look at it like this. Success left me a lot of clues. Lots of other people's success left me a lot of clues, guys. I have been around successful people all my life. I've met many, many, many successful people. I've been lucky in that sense. And most times, you know, successful people that I met, the 5 minutes or 2 minute discussion with them about certain topic gave me enormous amount of clarity, guys. I could walk away from that conversation feeling euphorious because they gave me something there. So I learned very early in my business career that if I could take someone to lunch or breakfast, I bought them lunch or breakfast, I could buy time from them. Okay, someone told me this a long time ago, that your only reason why you're buying lunch or breakfast is not because of lunch or breakfast. You're not there to eat. You're buying time from them. You're showing honor to the person, and you're inviting them to sit down and have lunch with you and giving you some ideas and giving you some routines or disciplines and habits. So here's one thing that I can tell you guys, is that ask good questions. Whenever you're at that lunch, if you can get someone to lunch, if you can get a mentor or someone, you can take them to lunch or breakfast, that $20, $30 that you're going to be spending in taking them to lunch will reap you hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars later on in life. You know, I was very disciplined about that. I joined an organization called Business Network International, BNI. You can look that up, guys. And this is something that has transformed my business career entirely. I joined it in 1997, 1998. You're doing that time frame. I was a member of two different chapters there, me and some employees of mine. And we remarkably grew a company well over $100,000 in the first year of business, guys, just by getting a few people to or taking a few people to lunch because they knew what my problems were. I was 26 years old. I didn't know anything, guys. I had no idea about what business was. But they transformed me. Those lunches and breakfasts, I would do that over and over again, guys. And this discipline that I learned from that BNI business group there was that you take someone that is an associate of yours to lunch every week. You're supposed to take a new person every week. So every week I had an opportunity to take someone to lunch. And I never let them pay. I paid them. But guess what? Even when I was struggling, I paid them because guess what? That 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or 40 minutes that they gave me, that was not lunch. That was knowledge gathering for me. I could have written books about all the knowledge that I have have gained from those lunches. So I'm asking you guys, take someone to lunch, take someone to breakfast, and you're going to see, find out what happens. Their disciplines, their routines, their habits, you're going to gain some of that stuff. You'll find out what clubs or associations they belong to. What do they listen to? You know, there was an opportunity for me to speak to a national consultant at Ambit Energy, and he was at an airport, and I was taking the same flight back home, and he asked me what I read, what I like to read, and I didn't know, he said, what books do you have with you, man? I said, sir, I don't have a book with me, I have a magazine, and I had just bought a Robb Report, and some of you guys know what a Robb Report is. It's a fantastic magazine, guys, and I was enlightened by the Robb Report all the time, but what I learned from this gentleman said, have you invested any amount of your energy in books? The thing is, I said, sir, I do like to read, and I read. He said, have you invested the time and energy in your profession? Okay. And he reminded me of this quote by Jim Rohn also. He said, Jim Rohn said, if you read a book a month about your industry, and this is just one book a month about your industry, in 10 years, you'd have read 120 books, guys. So if you read 120 books about your industry, you'll be in the top 1% of your entire field. You understand? That means you'll out-earn, you'll outdo 99% of the people in your business, in your field. You will out-earn them because you will be in the top 1%, guys. We all want to be top 1%ers, and I know that you all agree with me. So I'm asking you, read a book. Do it once a month. So I started reading a book just to pass time, okay? And this is pastime means, like if I was waiting for an appointment, I'm always carrying a book there. This is when I was 26, 27 years old. I would take a book with me at an appointment. If I was waiting for somebody, I was reading a book there. At that time, there were no tablets. There was no Kindle. There was no nothing like that. It was a book. And I still do that. It's a habit. I'm always, when I'm leaving home, I'm always carrying a book. There's always a book with me in my car. If I'm stopped anywhere, I'm reading a book, guys. And I'll tell you another thing, guys. The books will give you an ability to learn from that person who is the author. That becomes the mentor for you for that hour or 30 minutes. You're sitting basically by the side of your mentor and learning from your mentor. How much money would you give to learn from somebody like Jim Rohn? You're sitting by his side, guys. That's what it allows you to do. But if you read all the books in the world and don't apply anything that you read, guess what will happen? Nothing. You're not going to change the world. You'll only change the world if you learn how to apply these stuff there. You're going to learn from the books there, and you're going to change your habits because what you learned will clearly identify what was not good for you and what was good for you. The productive habits from the non-productive habits. That's what I want you to identify. I want you to identify that where your habits are now, where is it going to take you long term there? And if you continue doing them, where the outcome is the outcome going to be what you wanted long term? If not, change them, guys. Okay. And I want you to be totally honest with me because, like I said, if you don't do it today, if you wait till tomorrow, that's another procrastination. That's another bad habit. Guys, I can tell you procrastination is one of the easiest habits to break, but it's also one of the hardest habits to break if you don't take notice of that thing there. What are you doing? It's easy to break the procrastination because it's something very, very easy to do. You can do something called a six-second plan. And I do this thing, I've done this thing quite well successfully, is that if I pick up a piece of mail, I want to address that right then, right there. I don't want to put it in a bin. Okay, and it's very simple. Anybody can do this thing. You look at the piece of mail, you see that what it's addressed to, who's it addressed to, and open the mail up, and you know whether it's a bill or it's not a bill, or if it's whatever it is. But if it's a water bill or electric bill or something, you take care of it right away, guys. All of my bills are on auto pay right now because I don't want to spend the time in taking a look at that part there. So, guys, listen, if you do this on a regular basis, 6 seconds, you just make a decision within 6 seconds, like, okay, am I going to address this thing right now? Am I not? Okay, another trick I'm going to show you is this. Guys, I want you to find a big frog, okay, any type of frog. A plastic frog or it doesn't matter, just a frog, okay, or any sort. You can get a porcelain frog and keep that on your table, okay? And here's the reason for that frog. when you have that frog every morning, if you are going to get a list of things to do, a to-do list, and this is a way to hack your list, a to-do list also, is this. You want to look at the frog, you want to look at your list, and you want to identify which is the most important thing of the day. Okay, most important thing. You might have a to-do list that's 6 long or 7. I don't normally do more than 6 things during the day. I put 6 things in my list there. And I want to accomplish only 6 things. If I can do more than that, that's fantastic, but 6 is my target. Okay, so if I identify that I have to take care of this issue first, early on, I want to eat that frog. It says, eat the frog the first thing in the morning. Okay? Look at the frog and say, I'm going to eat that frog there because that's your biggest problem. Never leave your biggest problem till the end of the day because you'll run out of time or energy. So in the beginning of the day, this is a life hack, guys. It's extremely powerful. It works like magic. And I've done this thing, you know, remarkably well to eliminate some procrastination issues that I've had. And I can tell you, everybody suffers from that stuff there. So I eat my frog the first thing in the morning, okay? I eat that frog there because guess what? I want to get rid of the biggest issue, the biggest challenge. Whether it's a challenge from a consultant, a customer, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes up in your business there, you want to take care of that biggest challenge right away, okay? Then whether it's a win or a loss or whatever the outcome may be, guys, you have addressed that issue. Now you can put a lid on that. Now you can put that frog away. Put it in a box and say, hey, I ate the frog. I'm done with it. Tomorrow I will deal with another frog. Then the next 5 things that you're going to be doing will be somewhat easier. And if you had a win on the biggest one, guess what? The next one will always be wins, guys. It somehow works out like that you're in a better mood, better action-oriented. And guess what happens? Your outcomes are better whenever you take care of the biggest issues the first thing in the morning. Okay, now I want you to define the successful habits. Okay, define what will help you, what will make you better, what will gain more clarity for your business. What will happen if you did this? What will be the outcome? If you don't know the outcome of it, then find someone who will tell you what a successful habit means and what successful habit, you know, what the outcome can mean. Guys, so I'll give you a quick example. Guys, if you're feeling like you have no savings or investment for the future and you're spending all of your income, okay, the consequence, you have to look at how to identify that habit is you have to look at the consequence. The consequence is going to be you will be working till retirement years, okay, or maybe even more, and you won't have choice of freedom, the freedom of choice. Basically, you won't have the freedom of choice, and you cannot stop working at your retirement time because you are living beyond your means. You have no savings there. Guys, a successful habit would be, if you were to reverse that course there, a successful habit would be take 10% of your money and invest every dollar of that 10% there and live within your means. Because what will be the benefit? I want you to write down the benefits. If you do an analysis, if you write down the habit that you have and the consequence, automatically the benefit will present itself to you. So here the benefit would be you'd be debt-free, you'd be choosing your own lifestyle, you'll have lots of time off, you know, you can have financial independence. So that's just the financial part of it. So how can you do a quick and clear action plan for it? It's a 3-step action plan. I want you to discuss that habit with someone that you trust. Okay, someone who's going to give you a good evaluation without the encumbrances of judgment. Okay, someone who's not going to judge you because of your habit. You know, sometimes a spouse is not a good person for that, for asking the thing, because there's always some judgment associated with a spouse or a family member. So sometimes it's someone who's maybe a business associate. They can tell you that, hey, you know what, if you do change that, there's a benefit to that part there. So most times whenever, if it's a financial part of it, you want to go to someone who is financially doing better off than you, or a financial planner. You get some help from them and set up a monthly automatic deposit. I did the same thing in 2005. I started doing that, and I started actually building a savings account because of that, guys. And then I've been very, very lucky because of Ambit Energy. I was able to save quite a bit of money for my children's college tuition and my retirement too also. But it's something that you have to do proactively. That is, you know it. You know that it needs to be done. But the automatic part of it becomes automatic when you have taken the action for a little bit of time. Okay, when your new habit becomes, or the habit that you changed becomes your new habit, then it, you can make it automatic. You can make that automatic. Your subconscious mind will not fight you in creating that habit, because most times our conscious mind will get into the way of creating that new habit there. But once this goes embedded in yourself, that you know that this needs to be done, it's going to get done, guys. Okay. So another habit, I mean, you know, allowing distractions. And this is something that I had to do to also myself, is that I don't want to allow distractions. Guys, I don't want to get on Facebook in the morning. Okay. I want to return my phone calls first before I get on Facebook. And you want to limit your time on Facebook. So there's a way, if you guys use iPhone, and I can tell you a little hack for the iPhone, is that there's a screen time feature there. You can enable the screen time. And if you are unable to monitor your Facebook screen time, how much time you're spending on the thing, just monitor it on the screen time there. It'll tell you what programs that you're using or what apps you're using for how long. Okay. So monitor that. For a few days, you're going to see a trend, and you can identify where to reduce and what to increase there. Okay. So I'll tell you one thing that I have learned, is that not to go onto Facebook or try to post things on Facebook. Everybody jumps on Facebook at 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. They go to work, and they're on Facebook there. They open the Facebook, and they leave it on all day long, and it takes hours and hours and hours and hours of unproductive time. Okay, this becomes, and I'm not saying that Facebook is entirely unproductive, but guys, listen, if you're not doing business on Facebook, there's no real reason why you need to be on Facebook during work hour. Okay, if you're going to put your effort into the work, be mindful of that effort that you're putting on Facebook, because really the Facebook friends that you have, they don't really care about you guys. They're not you're acquiring friends other than your consultants. They're not going to serve your purpose, guys. So I can tell you one thing, guys, is that limit your time on the social media. Limit your time. Allocate an hour to 2 hours, but do it for business. When you're there for business, do it for the business. Now, after the business hours, you can scroll Facebook all day you want, all afternoon you want. But also you should remember that, you know, time is limited. Everybody has 24 hours, and you don't want to spend too much time on that. So distractions and interruptions. Phone is a big interruption, but phone is necessary for our business there, so we have to do that part there. We don't want to limit too much time on the phone, but limit the conversations to about 20 minutes. I learned it from a long time ago from another national consultant, Ambit Energy. He told me, he says, make the conversations about 20 minutes long, and 20 minutes long will take care of everything there. You have a start and an end. You have to give an action plan to somebody that's on the call with you. When your consultants call you, do not leave them without an action plan. Because if you let them go without an action plan, that person did not gain what the reason they called you for. They didn't gain that reason. They didn't gain that plan there. So they're left wanting, and you don't want to leave them wanting. You want to give them a clear, that all comes into play with the clarity. So guys, I'm going to tell you a little quick story, because my time is running out. It's 9:44 right now. I don't want to take up the whole night, guys. But I'll tell you a quick story about a lady, and then we will end the call there. But I also want to tell you that next time when we talk again, one of these days when I'm getting on the call again, I'll explain to you a little more about how to create focus, and I'll give you some more steps on that. So there's a visualization example I want to give you. It's called imagination and vividness of imagination, because imagination multiplied with vividness of the imagination becomes a reality. Okay, so imagination is great. Everybody has imagination. Everybody has a plan. Everybody has a goal and stuff. But if it's not a vivid goal or vivid, you know, a plan of action, then guess what will happen? The reality does not become reality. It stays imagination. Okay, so the concept is created by a lady named Glenna, and I'll explain who Glenna is in just a second. You'll know what I'm telling you about this thing. So this lady named Glenna, she said she was stuck in a rut in her life. She was not going anywhere in her life. She had a no-end job. Her career was failing, and then she was a single mother of three young daughters. and she had a house payment, a car payment, and Glenna also had, you know, no sign of hope that she was ever going to meet another man, or whether she was ever going to fall in love, all of that stuff there. None of that was in the picture there. But she was determined to make an action. And she said that if I don't, she learned this principle of I multiplied by V, which is basically imagination multiplied by vividness, to make it a reality. And she said, you know, I wanted to write a written list. And we all know about written list, and I'm telling you that she wrote a written list also of her desires and turned it into pictures. It's just like a vision board. So what Glenna did essentially, a long time ago, Glenna made a vision board, guys, a vision board of what she wanted to achieve in her life. So she cut up old magazines, she cut up pictures and the thing there, and put the pictures in an album there. She arranged them in an attractive photo album, and she watched it repeatedly, and she looked at it every day. So Glenna says that as a woman, she put a picture of a beautiful woman, a wedding gown, and a good-looking man next to her in a tuxedo. That was one of the pictures. She put a bouquet of flowers in there. She put an island in the sparkling blue Caribbean waters, guys. And then she put a college diploma for her girls, guys, in those pictures there. Also, she put in, you know, a woman as a vice president of a company. She was working for a company that really didn't have any way for her to promote to the level, and that company did not ever have a female officer at a company. So she wanted to be the first vice president of the company. She also wanted to attend the Fuller Theological Seminary. She wanted a mortarboard hat that's presented to somebody who graduated from the Fuller Theological Seminary, guys. So here is Glenna going to her job again 8 weeks later. She's driving down the California freeway, and she was admiring the beautiful, you know, beautiful sea or the ocean next to her. And here comes a red and white car next to her. And she looks at the car. The car is an appealing car. And the driver was ever more appealing. And the driver also looked at her and smiled. And she smiled back. The next thing that Glenna knew, that the driver started following her. Now, I don't want you guys to just start following me, you know, people that you meet on the freeway, but this is funny. But Glenna pretended that she didn't want to look, but the driver followed her for 15 miles, and she was almost scared to death, and she drove for another few more miles, and he drove for another few more miles. He didn't stop, and then she parked, and he parked, and eventually she said she eventually married him. Okay, so this is on their first date. So this guy's name is Jim. Okay, Jim goes on a first date with Glenna. Jim, on their first date, brought her a dozen red roses. And every week, every Monday, Jim would send her a red rose with a love note. Okay. And one day, Jim said, Glenna, it's time that I marry you. But before we get married, I can tell you something. I found a perfect place for a honeymoon. Okay. Normally, you know, women choose the honeymoon there too also, but he chose the honeymoon place there, and he said, so it's St. John's Island in the Caribbean. Okay. So Glenna said that she had no idea when he said that it was St. John's Island in the Caribbean. She did not know that the picture in her book that she had on that island there was the picture of St. John's Island in the Caribbean, and that was going to be their picture or be their honeymoon place there. So soon after that, Glenna became the vice president of human resources at the company that she worked at, and she completed her master's degree. She was one of the first women ever admitted in the doctoral program at the Fuller Seminary, too, also. And not only did Glenna's daughters earn their college degrees, all three of them graduated summa cum laude. And they created their own photo albums. They created their own vision board. And they started seeing how God was at work to make their lives better. So I know it's a beautiful story, guys, but it's real. And you know, I read that story and I felt that it was powerful enough that I'd love to share that with you guys. So I want to leave you with this, guys. This is the last week of the bonuses, that ambition bonuses, the big bonuses that are there. It's Friday. These bonuses, I hope they extend it at some point. But listen, make sure that you put in enough consultants in the business that your business will flourish next month. You know, most times whenever there's an ambition bonus, it carries over to the next, the money that you make carries over to the next month there because you have the next 28 days. So load your board, what we call in the business, load your board, put enough consultants in the business, put enough customers in the business, and make sure that you're getting paid and they're getting paid. So thank you very much for jumping on the call tonight. I appreciate every one of you. I love you all. Thank you, guys.